Hello?
Hello, Soraya. It's me, Jeff.
Hey!
So this is our first podcast without a guest in a couple weeks. A few weeks.
I almost don't remember how to do it without a guest.
Can we do it, just the two of us?
We'll find out.
We will. So today, we're going to talk about a little record from 1984 that came with a hype sticker that said, 9 of your favorite songs featuring members of The 3 O'Clock, Rain Parade, Bangles, and The Dream Syndicate. How does that sound?
Hey, I'm in.
All right, then let's get started.
Sounds good. Hi, this is Soraya.
And this is Jeff.
Our podcast is called Paisley Stage Raspberry and Rhyme.
A podcast where the two of us play music that we like and share anecdotes and background about the tunes.
We hope you'll join our conversation. And without further ado, a grubiar.
Let's get groovy. All right, so Rainy Day. You own this record, right?
I do. I own the vinyl and the CD.
It's such a gem, isn't it?
You know, it is this completely different record. Simply because, one, it's all covers. Two, this is at really kind of the height or the heyday of the Paisley Underground, so you're going to hear some voices that are really familiar from the Bangs or Bangles, from 3 O'Clock, from Dream Syndicate, and from Rain Parade. So it is really a treat that we've got, what is it? We've got 9 tracks.
Yes.
And we've got pretty much most of the people from the bands that we've been looking at.
Right, right.
We recently spoke with Michael Curcio about his recollections of the Rainy Day recordings, so let's listen to that now.
Hey, Michael, you've likened the 3x4 project to the Rainy Day project that you did with David Roback.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about the Rainy Day project?
Yeah, there was a David Roback called me up and said it was before they went in and recorded the first Rain Parade album, Third Rail Power Trip.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the one with the balloons on the cover?
Yep.
And he said, look, I'm going into the studio. I'm going to produce the record, but I've never produced a record before. So I want to go. I'm going to pay for studio time at the Radio Tokyo tapes, this Radio Tokyo studio in Santa Monica. And I'm going to ask my friends, everybody pick a couple songs, that your favorite songs from whenever, and we'll all learn them. You know, different musicians I have coming in, we'll learn the songs, and you just come in and play and sing them, the two ones that you, and then it's just going to be a way for me to practice being a producer.
Oh, wow.
It was an 8-track studio, and I said, okay, that's a fun idea. So I picked the Sloop John B. and John Riley, which I just noticed, I just realized for the first time in 100 years, both those songs are about somebody named John. It's really weird. So we went in, and I played bass and sang, and then he said, oh, you know, we played bass. It was on the Susanna Hoff song, I'll Keep It With Mine. I want you to play bass on that. So I played bass on that, and I played drums on one of the tracks, and, you know, all the different times we'd go in, and other people came in and played on the ones that I picked, and we weren't all there at the same time, you know, necessarily. It wasn't everybody in the room all at the same time. Everybody kind of came in when they could and when he had booked the time, whatever. I think this all happened within like the 3 weeks of, you know, and it was raining, constantly raining. It was during that really bad El Nino of that year.
Oh,
I remember it just rained and rained and rained. And it was like the whole, I think that's why he called it Rainy Day, because it just would not stop raining while we were recording all that stuff. And then we had finished it all, and I just, okay, great. And you know, this was a lot of fun, you know. And they even got me to sing that Hendrix song at the end, you know.
Mm-hmm.
After a few beers or whatever, I think I sang that. You know, I was only 19 when I did all that stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was it. It was done and went on. And it wasn't until a couple months later, I think I was on, I went and did a tour with the 3 O'Clock, maybe 2 or 3 months later, maybe even 4 months later. It was like, that was like in like February, and then maybe by like May of that year, or so, Lisa Thatcher from Frontier Records says, "Oh, that record came out.
What?
That record you did with that record you did with all those guys just came out." I said, "What are you talking about?" She said, "That album, you know, the rainy day." And I did. "What are you talking about?" She said, "You did a couple of songs, and you guys all played." I go, "That's a record?"
Surprise.
He never told me that he was going to release. I had no idea. It was never spoken about actually that being a record while it was being recorded. All I was told was he's practicing. He's just paying for the time, and he just wants to practice being a producer.
Wow.
So I was never so just, okay. What did I, you know, by the way, what the hell did I do? That was like 5 months ago, and, you know, and so I was quite startled. And then, a lot of people liked it and whatever. Yeah, but I don't know what the other people were told, but I was never told that it was going to ever be released.
Hmm. And it's very difficult to find now, and quite pricey if you can find it. I'm surprised it hasn't been reissued.
I think he has the rights, and I guess he's rather eccentric now or something. Or I haven't talked to him in eons, but nice guy. I always liked him. But I guess he isn't too keen on licensing it for a reissue. That's, I guess, what I'm told or whatever. I know people want to put it out, so
I would imagine so. It's great.
It's excellent. Yeah, I still have my original vinyl from back in '80.
Well, he's gone on to such success with Matthew Starr and all that maybe he doesn't even think about that record, or I don't know. But yeah, they should put that out.
A lot of us still think about it. So, and what's the rumor, Jeff, about the? That there was something that we came across about how that originated. What was the rumor, Jen?
So I had read, I think it was on Wikipedia, that said that the whole idea for Rainy Day came about at a green on red barbecue. So I don't know if David Roback was at a barbecue.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. That's actually, like I told you, the story I was told is just that I want to practice producing records before I go and do an album. So let's pick a couple of cover tunes and I'll, be in the control room and I'll kind of produce it. And
nice.
It made sense to me. Yeah. If you've never produced a record, why would you just go and call you and get to see money and you had the extra money to spend? Why not? It made sense to me.
Yeah.
No, but I don't know what was told at the green on red barbecue, but I wasn't there. I'm glad I did it, and I'm glad I was invited.
Yeah.
But, I had no idea that was going to be something that the world was going to hear. So
is it true that later David Roback did talk to you about joining Mazzy Star?
That was, like, after the 3 o'clock broke up and before Permanent Green Light for him. I'm talking probably, 90 or right after the original singer for Opal, that was his band before Mazzy Star.
Yeah, so that would have been
Kendra Smith, the original bass player for the Dream Syndicate.
Correct.
Was the singer. And I think she had left or whatever, and he said, I think that was it, and if my memory corrects me, and I met him for dinner or something, or over coffee somewhere. And he handed me a tape of some songs. But he said, this is a project I want to get together. And I really love your voice. And, it would just be kind of like a project of you and me. Kind of like just a duo kind of thing.
Wow.
And I was still kind of in my mindset that I wanted to be my own kind of songwriter and singer. And I kind of didn't want to, it just wasn't something I was interested to do, though. I did think he was a really great songwriter and a really talented guy, but I was very flattered in that. But and then after that, I think he's when he got together with Hope Sandoval and then started all that, which, was the right thing to do anyway. Yeah, so, that really happened.
I'm picturing in my mind Michael Quercio singing Fade Into You, I can actually picture that.
If I can find that cassette he gave me, that song might even be on there with him singing. I think it was all songs with him originally singing them.
Oh, wow.
Nice. See? This musical trajectory, just all these neat twists and turns. Pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, so listening to Michael Curcio talk about Rainy Day, wow, that really gives us some extra insight into really how special and unique this recording actually is.
Yeah, and isn't it weird that he said he didn't even know that it was going to be a release, that it was just a project that they were going to just practice producing on for David Roebuck, and it ends up being a record.
And that's the part that's the trippiest, because think of how coveted Rainy Day is, right? If you have the LP, you know that you've got something that is so limited. If you've got the CD in your hands, or, you know, I don't know, cassette, you know you've got something that really very few people have.
Yeah,
very and special. And to think that this was an idea that really not everyone knew about, that this is going to be a released recording, I just think it's so cool.
Yeah, and I wonder if the other musicians, artists that played on it knew or had the same impression that Michael had, because he said that, you know, that's his take on it, but he wasn't sure about the others. So, very interesting.
I think we're going to have to start asking people.
Exactly. So, let's talk a little bit about the personnel that was on the Rainy Day compilation record. You mentioned the four bands, but I'll go into a little bit more detail. So, from Rain Parade, as you mentioned, David Roebuck seemed to be the one to drive this project. Also from Rain Parade were violinist and keyboard Will Glenn and David's brother Stephen Roebuck, the bass player from Rain Parade. And then from the Bangs, the Bangles.
Wait, you missed one.
What's who's that?
And Matt Pucci's on, playing an acoustic 12 string.
Oh, that's right. I did miss
on
that.
Riley, yeah.
That's right, right. So almost the whole band, minus their drummer.
Right.
At the
right.
time.
Yeah.
And then from the Bangles, we have Susanna Hoffs and Vicki Peterson.
Right.
And then from Dream Syndicate, we have Dennis Duck playing drums, Kendra Smith, who was their original bass player.
Right.
And then lead guitar player Carl Prokota also plays on the Rainy Day compilation.
Right.
And then finally from the 3 o'clock, we have the lone representative from the band, but a big one, right? Michael Curcio.
Oh, huge.
So the front man. And then also there was a couple other players who played on Ethan James, who was the founder of the Radio Tokyo Studios.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he also plays on a track. And then we have a guest tambourinist, Spock.
Yeah.
I wanted to tell you a little bit about Ethan James. So I was in a band in the 80s called White Glove Test. And we were a huge fan of the Radio Tokyo Tapes compilation project that we had talked about on an earlier podcast. When my band White Glove Test recorded our first album, we got to record at the Radio Tokyo Studios.
Oh, get out.
And this is where Rainy Day was recorded at. And I was familiar with these bands. In fact, they were huge to me. I mean, to me, the Paisley Underground were my Beatles. So when I went in there to the studio and we had to put on our headsets, they call them cans in the studio, and I was setting up my amplifier, setting up my guitar, and Ethan James, the founder, and he was engineering our record, or co-engineering our record, he said, grab a set of cans, we're going to record you. And I said, which cans did Susanna Hoffs use? While I'm looking around the studio, he's like, I have no idea, Jeff. Just grab a pair of headsets. So
you want to be that much closer to her.
Right. Maybe some of that talent can rub off on me as a young teenage boy. So I wanted to talk, another personal story that I have is about this cover. I don't know if you remember the cover.
Which one?
The cover, the cover.
Oh, the cover artwork.
The cover artwork. Yes.
Oh, yes.
So to our listeners who don't have it, how would you describe the cover artwork for Rainy Day?
So it looks like a really rough sketch. And it's a person reaching out for guitar.
Yeah, so we're definitely going to have to share this on our social media pages.
Yes.
So our listeners can see what we're talking about. But a little story about that. So earlier this year, I went to see the Dream Syndicate playing at the Casbah Club in San Diego. I was really surprised because Kendra Smith came out and joined them. She had joined them at a show in Los Angeles earlier in the year, and I kind of had an idea, because there were hints thrown out, that she was going to be at the Los Angeles show. To me, that was... Nobody's heard from her, as far as I know, my friends. We had no idea where Kendra had been for all of these years, so it has been years since she's been in the public at all. So when she came out for this Los Angeles show, it was... We were just freaking out, like, oh my gosh, you know, she's still around, she's doing a public performance. And to me, I was thinking at the time, like, okay, so she's going to go back and nobody's ever going to hear from her again. So when this San Diego show came up, I was very surprised that she came out and sang a couple songs with Dream Syndicate at the end of their performance. Well, she was kind enough after the performance to hang around and talk to some of us that hung around after the show. And I had, for some reason, I brought my Rainy Day record. I think I brought it because I wanted Dennis Duck to sign it. He was the only one from the Dream Syndicate that I knew would be there. I knew Carl Percoto wasn't going to be there. He's no longer the guitar player for Dream Syndicate. And Steve Wynn wasn't on the Rainy Day record. So I brought it with the intention to have Dennis Duck sign my Rainy Day record, which he did. But when I brought the record and Kendra was there, I, of course, had her sign my record. And it was so cute, Soraya. You should have seen it. So Kendra gets the record and she looks at it and she has this look in her eyes like it's something that she hasn't seen in years.
Oh,
and
wow.
She's looking at this. To me, she comes across as somebody who really values her personal space.
Uh-huh.
She was extremely kind and ended up talking to me for about 10 or 15 minutes. But I did get the impression that she's somebody who prefers her own personal space, like I said. But mm-hmm. She was so excited after seeing her artwork. She did the drawing on this.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, she did the drawing. So she holds it up, and there's probably, I want to say at this point, it was after the show, it was real late in the evening, maybe into the wee hours of the morning, certainly sooner than midnight, maybe like 1 o'clock. So she's so excited. She holds up the record, and she's like, hey, everybody, this is my drawing. And I was like, oh my gosh, this moment is priceless.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was great.
Did she sign something really lovely on it, or just her name?
She ended up just signing her name, like right at the top of the record above the drawing of the individual.
But that's pretty dang cool.
The sparkle in her eye when she saw was priceless. And then her reaction, coming from somebody who is very, I would say, introspective.
At the very least.
Right, yeah. Right. And it, just the excitement was really cool. So let's talk a little bit more about Rainy Day. So this record is not that easy to find nowadays.
Nope, it isn't. What's the going number on eBay or on Discogs? What'd you say it was, like $50?
If you're lucky, if you can find it, a lot of times it's as much as like $100 for the vinyl or the CD, and it's never been reissued since the 80s.
I want to say...
Or early 90s.
So I want to say that I bought Rainy Day back in 84, so it was height of Paisley Underground, so I still have it. But in recent years, I want to say it was maybe about 4 or 5 years ago, I wanted to hear it again, and I didn't have, at that time, I didn't have a record player. So I said, oh, I better find it digital. Couldn't find it digital.
Right.
And so, you know, you just go down that wormhole of trying to find a place where you can find access to it. And I want to say I bought it off of eBay, and the seller was someone in, like, Italy. I mean, it took a journey to get into my hands. But at least now I have a digital copy of it. And there's nothing lost in that transference of, you know, from vinyl to CD. It's still this very, I don't want to say rough, but there's just a very raw emotion and sound to this, which is something that I really appreciate.
Yeah, I totally agree. That really comes across in these songs. Even though they're all covers, these individuals from the Paisley Underground, you could tell that these songs really mean something to them.
Right. And, you know, it just kind of begs the question, okay, well, how amongst all the possible songs of the late 60s do these 9 tracks get selected, you know? Because you have to think, what's the, you know, we're talking about the psychedelic era of music, okay? We're talking about 67 through 69.
Right.
Hundreds and thousands of songs to be whittled down to 9 that were chosen, you know, for reasons that made sense to the people who were singing them. Yeah. You know, because you've got Buffalo Springfield, you've got Birds, you've got Hendrix.
The Who.
You've got, yeah, The Who. You've got Velvet Underground. And then you've got Big Star, mm-hmm. like Kendra on Holocaust.
Yeah.
Is haunting. It is a chilling song.
Well, let's go through each one of these songs, shall we, from the beginning and talk about each one?
Let's do it. Okay.
So the record starts off with a song that was originally written by Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
I'll Keep It With Mine. So when I was doing a little bit of research on it, what I found was that Dylan wrote the song in 1964, but the first recorded version was Judy Collins. So he ended up doing versions of it, I think, that came out on not official releases, but more of like demo versions.
Uh-huh.
I think the version that our friends from the Paisley Underground, I think they were exposed to it from Nico, who was part of the Velvet Underground. Yeah, from her Chelsea Girl album. That came out in 1967. A little bit about this particular song. So David Roback played guitar and tambourine on it. Will Glenn from Rain Parade played the violin. Susanna Hoffs does the lead vocals on this. And that's it. That's the song.
And then Curcio is bass.
On this song?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm gonna just go back for a second.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at the liner notes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Curcio bass.
Nice. Very good.
So it's a beautiful song. First of all, Nico's version, I like it. Susanna Hoff's version, I find it to be just a very beautiful song.
And what a great way to open a record.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, you know, the thing that I love about this record is it's so different. Because, I mean, we all know these first recordings, these first pressings by the Bangs, by Dream Syndicate, by Rain Parade, by 3 o'clock. This is a completely different direction.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's what makes it really beautiful. It's a beautiful record.
It really is. So I would say that Rainy Day has more of a folk.
Absolutely.
Present to it.
I 100% agree with you.
Well, what a great way to start the record. It's an amazing track. Well, that takes us to track number 2, which is John Reilly.
And for those of you who are folk fans, John Reilly is a traditional song. But it started getting recorded by folk artists like Joan Baez, like Pete Seeger, like Judy Collins, and there is a version by the Birds. Mm-hmm. And this version I don't want to call it a reflection, but it definitely is influenced by that Birds version.
Yeah, I would.
That's just in my opinion.
Yeah, I would assume that our friends from the Paisley Underground were most familiar with the Birds version from their 1966 album, Fifth Dimension.
Exactly.
Do you mind if I read the lyrics to the song?
Go ahead.
You know that I'm not a lyric person. I'm a music person. So all I usually listen to are melodies, harmonies, and music. Not something I'm necessarily proud of, but that's just what appeals to me. So this song, apparently the original folk song, was written derived from Homer's Odyssey. And let me read the lyrics here, because this is something that like really stands out to me, these lyrics for John Reilly. There's really 2 main characters and a narrator that's telling the story in these lyrics, but I'll go ahead and read these. So the narrator starts off in the first stanza, "A fair young maid all in her garden, a strange young man comes passing by, saying, 'Fair maid, will you marry me?' And this answer was her reply. So the fair young maiden says, in stanza 2, 'No, kind sir, I cannot marry thee, for I have a love who sails all on the sea. He's been gone for 7 years, but still no man will I marry. And the strange young man says in stanza 3, well, what if he's in some battle slain, or drowned in the deep salt sea, or what if he's found another love, and he and his love both married be? The fair young maid responds, if he's in some battle slain, I will die when the moon doth wane, and if he's drowned in the deep salt sea, I'll be true to his memory. And if he's found another love, and he and his love both married be, then I wish them health and happiness where they now dwell across the sea. And in the last stanza, the narrator says, he picked her up all in his arms, and kisses gave her 1, 2, and 3, saying, weep no more, my own true love. I am your long last John Riley.
If that doesn't make your heart sing,
right.
I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to tell you.
Yeah, and I'm not a lyric person, yeah. But when I hear this, it's super romantic, right? But it's also bizarre that this John Riley character is the disguised true lover. When, you know, it's been 7 years since she's seen her young love, right? And so he comes back to her and says, you know, marry me instead. And then it ends up being him. So it's both romantic and bizarre at the same time. But
you know, when you break it down like that, it sounds kind of creepy. It's like the ultimate love test.
It is. But it's,
you know, do you still love me? Are you still pining for me? Well, here I am. Surprise.
Yep. And here's not only one kiss, not only two kisses, but I kiss you 3 times. And here we are reunited. Anyways, I absolutely love those lyrics. And so let's talk a little bit about who played on John Riley. So Michael Quercio is the bass player and singer on this.
Yeah.
And did you know that Will Glenn and David Roback also sang on this?
Yeah, their background, yeah.
Yeah, and then so David Roback plays guitar, Will Glenn plays violin, the drums are Dennis Duck from Dream Syndicate, and then as you mentioned, Matt
Pucci.
I'm going to get this right, plays the acoustic 12-string guitar.
Yeah, yeah. And it's worth a listen. I mean, Jeff did the lyrics justice, and then when you hear the version with music, it's oof.
It's so good. Gets
you in your soul. Yeah.
So that brings us to track number 3. You want to listen to it?
Yes. Okay. Flying on the Ground is Wrong.
My world not falling down, I'm in pieces on the ground, and my eyes aren't open, and I'm standing on my knees. But if crying and holding on and flying on the ground is wrong, I'm sorry to let you down, but you're from my side of town, and I'll miss you. Turn me up, boy, turn me down, turn me off, boy. Turn me round. I wish I could have met you in a place where we both belong. But if crying and holding on and flying on the ground is wrong, then I'm sorry to let you down. Thank you.
Song. So it's so simple. It's just David Roback playing the acoustic guitar. Kendra Smith is doing the lead vocals, and in the background you have Susanna Hoffs.
You know what I really like about Kendra on this song? Okay, so this song is written by Neil Young.
Yep.
And he is known for just these very poignant and very powerful lyrics. And Kendra's voice just marries very well with the words that she's singing. It's such a powerful, beautiful song. It's very soft and gentle, even though her voice is just, it's so powerful.
It really is.
Everything about this. I love it. This song is originally recorded by the Buffalo Springfield, but Kendra on this song is just, she's amazing.
It sounds like it not only comes from her mouth, from her throat, but it comes from her heart. It feels like that in the way that she sings it. Yeah, so you mentioned that this came from the Buffalo Springfield. It was their debut release in 66. So far, we have, let's say, I'll Keep It With Mine, was based on the 67 Nico song.
Right.
John Riley from the 66 Birds version, probably. And then this is from 66. So far, we're like mid-60s for all of these songs.
We're in that transition from folk into psychedelia, but again, these are just strong songs that stand on their own very, very well.
So I didn't mention, we went back to our original roots when we decided to make this podcast, that I would pick two songs and you would pick two songs and we would talk about that. So I didn't mention that was my pick. You have a pick.
Which is the next song in the track listing.
Yes.
Which is Sloop John B.
Why did you pick this one, Soraya?
First of all, because it's one of my, it's a favorite song of mine that the Beach Boys do. So this is, first of all, it's another traditional song. It has been bandied about in folk circles. But I loved the Beach Boys version. And then I remember when I was playing this record back in 84. And I get to track 4, and I think I played it, I think I must have played it like 7 times straight.
Wow.
Because obviously the Beach Boys version is different, and what's on Sloop John B is I hear so much of that bass. That bass is, I mean, it really stands alone on this, and it's just so stinking good. I don't know what else to say. The lyrics are fun, and I think Michael Curcio does a great job with it. Yeah. And Ethan James on keyboards, Dennis Duck on drums, and David Roback on guitar and congas, because it does have a tropical tone to it. Because the lyrics take us into Jamaica.
Yeah.
So you're going to hear a little bit of everything, but boy, this is such a good song, and he does a great job with it.
It is. Did you know that it was originally a folk song out of the Bahamas?
That I didn't know.
It fits, right? I mean, it's totally got that Caribbean feel, a sailor theme to it. There are some versions where it's called the John B. Sails. That's the name of the song, instead of Sloop John B. Yeah. So you mentioned that this was a Beach Boys song. It came off their Pet Sounds album. It actually made it all the way to number 3 on the Billboard Hot 100. In May 7th of 1966, the Beach Boys version.
How cool is that?
Yeah. So, should we hear Rainy Day's version of it?
Please. Yes. Sloop John B, everybody.
Come on, Sloop John B, my grandfather and me.
And let me just correct myself. Nassau, Bahamas, where I failed geography. So forgive me with my Jamaica slip. But see, isn't that bass on that?
Oh, yeah.
Pretty insane.
Yeah, it's driving that.
Yeah, and it's just such a fun, different than the Beach Boys version, but I love it.
Yeah.
It's so good.
There's a lot of good things about it. I love where it breaks down and it's just the vocal part. And uh-huh. I don't know how many overdubs, how many vocals they have going on there, but there's a lot of vocals, and it just, they just sound great. On, and I love the first time that Michael says, "This is the worst trip I've ever been on." The way he sings it, you know, and he only does it on the first time, but I love that about it.
It's so good.
So that brings us to the last song on side one or side A. And this is unusual because, so it's "Soon Be Home" from The Who, and it's off of their A Quick One album. The original piece is 9 minutes, a medley, and it's a 6-part medley, A Quick One While He's Away is the name of the piece, and this is just part 5 of that 6-part medley, so it's weird that they're just doing a part of it. I mean, it totally works on its own.
Right.
But it's neat that it's just part of a larger piece, basically a part of a song, and, you know, it stands on its own. And in fact, when The Who performed this song on Live at Leeds, Pete Townsend calls it a mini opera, the whole 9-minute piece. And he even calls it, get this, he calls it Tommy's Parents.
Whoa!
So it was like his first foray into, you know, a mini opera, as he calls it.
That's pretty trippy.
Yeah. So this song that we're going to play is "Soon Be Home." I believe this is the first and only time ever that Michael Quercio plays drums. He also plays bass on the song. The vocals are Bengals, Susanna Hoffs, and Vicki Peterson. David Roback also plays guitar and sings on it. And then Spock is the tambourinist on this song. So "Soon Be Home," originally from the 1966 A Quick One album by The Who, it's "Soon Be Home." Thank you. Michael's got a little drum solo there at the end. David Roback is carrying that song with those vocals. It sounds so good. And his guitar kicks in. I love the sound of that guitar. It's so gritty, and it just sounds like it's just ready to break. Like, that's, like, any more, and it's just going to fall apart. But that distortion or overdrive on that guitar sound is just great.
Yes.
You ready to flip the record?
Let's flip it, man. Side B.
Side B. So you were starting to talk about Holocaust earlier.
Yeah.
And describing the way that Kendra sings it. This was almost going to be my pick. It's so haunting.
Yes.
That's how you described it.
I'm prepared for it. So this is an Alex Chilton song recorded by Big Star. And the song is, I hope I'm not confusing anyone right now, but it's a big song. Like, the lyrics are big. And Kendra on this song, it's a gut punch. It knocks you out.
It really does. I feel like it just, like, grabs my heart and just wrenches it all up. I mean, the first time, this is my exposure to Big Star Soraya. I had never heard of Big Star.
You're kidding.
No. In fact, a lot of these bands on Rainy Day were new to me. I wasn't familiar with Velvet Underground. I wasn't familiar with Buffalo Springfield. Like you, I bought this record in 1984. And I grew up on mostly metal. We had talked about that before. And then I got into new wave. So, I mean, most of these songs are from the 60s. I was born in the summer of love, July of 1967. So, yeah. So this was my first exposure to Big Star. And this is the only song on this compilation that did not come out in the mid-60s. This came out, like you said, the Big Star version came out in 1978. So, by the standards of the other songs on this, this was a relatively new song. It was only, 6 years old? Or 6 years after it had been written that Rainy Day is doing this version.
Right. It's pretty quickish turnaround, yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, listen to some of the lyrics. Your eyes are almost dead, can't get out of bed, and you can't sleep. You're sitting down to dress, and you're a mess. You look in the mirror, you look in your eyes, say you realize everybody goes, leaving those who fall behind. Everybody goes as far as they can. They don't just care. Whew.
Oh,
wait, let me, this is the part that I want to go. They stood on the stairs, laughing at your errors. Your mother's dead. She said, don't be afraid. Sorry, if you're not chilled to your bones, just listening to that.
Yeah.
Oh, and then her song styling in this song is, I mean, it takes the air out of your lungs. It's a chilling song, and it's very, very good.
It is, yeah. Yeah, she owns the song. I mean,
No, it's a big song, and she meets it.
Yeah.
So the lead vocal is Kendra Smith from Dream Syndicate. On piano is Stephen Roback from Rain Parade. Will Glenn playing cello, David Roback playing guitar, and Ethan James playing backwards piano.
Nice. So that brings us to the second song on side two, On the Way Home, which is also from Buffalo Springfield.
Yeah.
So this came from their 1968 record, That Last Time Around, and also written by Neil Young. So there's two Neil Young penned songs on this album.
Right.
And this one is just David Roback all by himself, guitar and vocals.
Yep.
So that brings us to your second choice, the second song that you picked.
So the second song I picked is called I'll Be Your Mirror. So this is another Velvet Underground song. So it's written by Lou Reed, recorded by Velvet Underground and Nico. And to me, I like this song a lot. But I really like Susanna Hoffs on this song. And she does lead vocal, plays guitar. David Roback is on lead guitar, bass, and tambourine. And then Sue Hoffs and Kendra are background vocals also. So I just want people to hear it. So let's play and we'll talk a little more about it when it's done.
Thank you.
I'll be your mirror, reflect what you are, in case you don't. I'll be the sun, the wind and the rain, the light on your door, to show that you're home. When you think the night has seen your mind, bent inside you, twisted and unkind, let me stand to show that you are blind. Please put down your hands, 'cause I see you.
Choice, Soraya.
Oh, so pretty.
It is really pretty. Her voice.
Look how it starts out. I'll be your mirror, reflect what you are, in case you don't know. I'll be the wind, the rain, and the sunset, the light on your door to show that you're home. Oh, my heart.
Lou Reed.
Romantic son of a gun.
Yeah, and then her voice with those words, right? I mean, it was written, I'm thinking, with Nico in mind.
Oh, 100%.
But then Susanna Hoffs just makes it hers on this version.
It's just such a sweet sounding song. And it's that harmony with Kendra. I'll be your mirror. You know, and you hear the layers. You hear the two of them. It's just this beautiful harmony taking me out of the song. There's nothing I don't like about it.
Yep. I think we really couldn't go wrong picking good songs from these nine. Right?
Look, we could come back and do 5 different rainy day shows and pick, you know, different songs each time, and we'll be knocking it out of the park. There's not a bum track on this.
Yeah. So this all takes us to the last track on side 2, the very last track of the compilation. Quite different from the rest of it. This is Rainy Day Dream Away. So the rest of them have a very folk feel to it. This has a very psychedelic feel. The original is a Jimi Hendrix song from the Jimi Hendrix Experience from their 1968 album Electric Ladyland. And this is just a total psychedelic freak out that starts with a very ambient rain sound.
Yeah.
And Michael Quercio takes the lead vocals on this. David Robeck on percussion. Dennis Duck from Dream Syndicate on drums, and then Ethan James did the bass and keyboards on it. But in addition to Michael's vocals, it's the guitar work by Carl Percota.
Yes.
To me, this song was made for him to do. And his guitar work on this is so psychedelic, and it has that signature sound that he has had with Dream Syndicate. It's just a great track, and it's a great way to go out. For me, this had to be the closing track. It doesn't fit anywhere else in this album, to me.
Right.
Because the rest of the album has that very folk feel to it. And this just goes out, takes us out on a trip.
Yeah, and that's the best word, on a trip. Yeah.
So that's the Rainy Day compilation. So I wish...
You need to find this. I mean, it's hard to find, but it's so worth it. Your ears will thank you. Yeah. Your heart and soul will thank you.
Yeah. And I think the songs that we've played today are a good indication of what you can expect from the record. It was originally released on Llama Records that was distributed by Enigma. So it did have some distribution at the time in 84. You could find it. Nowadays, it'll be a little bit tricky. So I would recommend eBay or Discogs if you're willing to spend a little money on it. To me, it's totally worth any price. I actually have two vinyl copies. I have an American pressing and then a Japanese pressing. Because to me, this record has so much meaning to it. My heart is in this record.
And do you want to hear something trippy now that you were talking about the original pressing? So I mentioned that I have the vinyl and I have the CD. And the CD, this is the trajectory it goes. It says 84, copyright 84, Serpent Records.
Oh.
And then, but the CD that I have, which is, can't determine what year it's from, released by Rough Trade.
Yep.
So, yeah, who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? I think one of the things we do know is that, you know, because it's circulating so little, there just hasn't been a reissue in, you know, in I think since maybe the initial days of CD, but boy, it's so worthwhile.
Yeah, I think it really does deserve to be reissued.
Well, I'll put in a phone call to David Robeck.
Yeah.
I don't have his number, but I'll send him a mental telepathy message that he should release.
Please release this. Omnivore.
Please release it.
Yeah. So one thing I failed to mention earlier, did you know that there was actually a 7-inch vinyl single?
No.
Yeah. So they were tracks that were from the record. It's I'll Keep It With Mine. It was the A side, and the B side was Holocaust, believe it or not.
Ooh.
Yeah. Spooky. Yeah. So it's it was a 7-inch single that came out in the UK, as you mentioned, on the Rough Trade label.
I think I need that.
So there is that. Yeah. And it's actually not that hard to find. The single. You can usually find a copy for about $20. It's just the two songs. But, I mean, that's a lot for a single, but compared to $100, you know, for the CD.
Well, you know, I think anyone listening to this podcast knows or has figured out by this point that when it comes to music, you and I really don't have too high of a threshold. Like, you know, we have some vices, and they are buying records, and I'll add for me buying books.
Oh.
So, you know,
guilty.
Amen. It's all right.
Okay. So that brings us to the end of our podcast about Rainy Day. I did want to tie in this Rainy Day project with the upcoming 3x4 project.
Yes.
A lot of the same artists. Same four bands that are represented, the 3 O'Clock, the Bangles, Dream Syndicate, and Rain Parade.
Yep.
So all of those bands are on the upcoming 3x4 project, where each one of those bands does songs by the other three.
Yes.
The limited release is due Black Friday.
Yeah, records, otherwise known as Record Store Day.
Record Store Day. And then the main...
The white release is in January of 2019.
Right. And then lastly, I did want to mention that another new release related to the Paisley Underground is the Permanent Green Light Hallucinations CD compilation.
Yes, put out by Omnivore, an absolutely killer compilation.
Yeah, I was...
You need it in your record vault.
In your collection, right. So after you listen to Rainy Day, if you're brought down a little bit and you want some energy, get Hallucinations and crank it.
It will rock out.
I would say it's probably something that's good to listen to in a car. It's good to listen to anywhere. But if you're driving down the road, like songs used to be in the 70s where you could throw something in your 8-track player and just crank it up. Yeah, this record is, to me, one of the Hallucinations by Permanent Green Light. It's something that I can throw in the car and just crank it. In fact, I did that yesterday. All
well,
right.
I've done it myself. And when I used to live in Philadelphia, I took the subway and I took the bus everywhere. And I would love to just have something really rocking or something really fun, headphones in. And honestly, it didn't happen once. It happened many times where I would be so into the music I was listening to, I'd miss my stop. So it's one of those sort of things.
Nice. All right. Well, with that, I think that's everything for this podcast. Did you have anything else that you wanted to say, Soraya?
Nothing. Folks, go get listening to some fun music.
Yes.
Either Rainy Day, Hallucinations, or just wait like Jeff and I are by our front doors and computers waiting for 3x4.
Yes.
Coming very, very soon.
Yes.
But with all that said, gente, a groovear.
Groove on, Paisley people.
Later.
Did it.
Woohoo! My mouth is dry as a bone.
We are podcasting fools.
Oh boy. All right. That was pretty fun.
That was a lot of fun.